Good morning again, everybody. It's nice to see our faces this morning. And sorry, I'm going to be cheeky this morning. If you doze off while I'm preaching, I'm going to ask that you come and like stand in front of the hall here. I'm just kidding. I remember there was once we're at our London headquarters. And we're having like a conference, and it was being like streamed live. And I don't know what I had done the night before. I think I slept like really, really late. And I was on the first or the second row. And like the camera was just like, and I was so tired. I was just almost reciting to myself, Pastor Benson, you must not sleep. Everybody on YouTube will be watching you as you're dozing off. So I'm just trying to say, I empathize with you. You guys have had like a long night. All right. So this morning, we're going to carry on from where we stopped last time. And we're looking at a topic that I've called resisting temptation and overcoming the strategies of the devil. And last week, I mentioned that, look, we do not really talk about the devil too much because we really have no business with him, unless he has business with us. But we want to understand certain things about how temptation comes about. And one thing I say is this, for me, the Bible has to make sense. Yes, I know that there are stories in the Bible that we enjoy, how Jesus, you know, healed people, how Jesus did this and that. However, that's great, but it needs to translate to my life as well. So it can't just be that I'm reading the Bible and enjoying the stories. We should do that. But I want to understand how the Bible helps us to deal with everyday life. Do you understand? Because that's what the Bible is for. So we're going to be looking at resisting temptation because we all go through temptation. But this series that we're going to be going through is to make us, self-aware. So that if you're experiencing temptation, as we all do, you can say, okay, this is what is going on, and you can just take appropriate measures. So I'll just go over last week. Last week, we looked at three things last week. I'll just summarize. The first thing we looked at was, what is temptation? And I got like a couple of dictionary meanings here. It says on Google, so if you work for Google, I'm referencing Google, so I'm, you know, it's not like an original definition. It says temptation is the desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. The second definition I got was a thing that attracts or tempts someone. But the point I made about temptation is I'm not talking about the kind of temptation that you face in the morning where you wake up at 2 a.m. in the morning and the first thing that comes to your mind is that cake and ice cream in the fridge. You guys don't do this. I remember there was a day, I don't know if this is confession time, like early in the morning, about 1 a.m. or so, 2 a.m. in the morning, I was like, man, I'm really hungry. And I went down to some people are like looking at themselves like, listen to Pastor, you know, you do this as well. And I went downstairs to the kitchen and the lights were on. I was like, man, what's going on here? And I met my son there. I'm like, oi, what are you doing here? It's 1 a.m. in the morning. Why are you in the fridge? And he looked at me and was like, what are you doing here, Dad? So I'm not talking about that kind of temptation. I'm talking about the temptation that the devil brings to harm us. So we looked at what temptation is, and the other thing we looked at was who gets tempted. And I said, that's the short answer to that one, every single one of us. And the third thing I looked at was, what is the aim of temptation that the devil brings? It's to destroy us. It's to really make things difficult for us. But I ended on the note that no matter how sophisticated the devil makes his temptation, Jesus is always there with us. Do you understand? So that's where we stopped last week. This week, I'm going to carry on, and I'm going to make three points as well. So today, we're looking at Understanding the process of temptation. Understanding the process of temptation. So the first thing I've said here is, how does the process of temptation start? You know, it might seem a bit technical, but I'll just try and lay it out. How does the process of temptation start? Where does it start from? How does one get to the place where you become tempted? Well, there's one key word I'm going to highlight here, and that word is desire. You see, you cannot be tempted by anything that you do not desire. So desire is a key word here that we'll be looking at. And desire can be good or not good. But we all have desires in life. Some of us have a desire to live a comfortable life. Some of us have a desire to, so many things. Maybe we have a desire to be an actor, actress, desire to be, to have a good relationship. All these things are desires that everyone has. We all have our different desires. So temptation starts from desire. If there's no desire in you for something, good or not too good, then you cannot be tempted by that thing. Do you understand what I mean? So for example, you wouldn't come to my house and say, man, I'm going to tempt Pastor Benson so that he can really eat till he can eat no more. And he becomes like really, really overweight and he can't, you know, he won't be able to move around. Do you know what I'm going to do to tempt him? I know. And you turn up at my house with like a truckload of vegetables. Definitely vegetables are not going to tempt me at all, because, you know, by the way, I'm working on the vegetable part of my meal, but I'm not like a big vegetable fan. Do you get what I mean? Fish and chips, yes, you can get me on that one. You know, large bowls of ice cream, you can get me on that one, but you can't get me on vegetables. You know? So there's this thing called desire. So your desire has to be there for something to be able to tempt you. Do you understand? It's like when you switch on the telly sometimes, or you're watching YouTube, and they bring this ad, and it says, oh, you need this new, I don't know, dress, pair of shoes or something. And this gadget comes. Maybe it's like the latest phone, and it just flashes by and it says, do away with your old phone. This one is quick. And if you're like me, I'm like a really gadgety guy, you know, and that phone just swipes across the screen. And suddenly I realize that, hang on, my phone's a bit old, you know, I think I need a new one. The only thing is that this phone that they're advertising is a bit expensive. And I had planned that I was going to do something else. Then the temptation starts. Phone, food, phone, food. So desire is a key thing here. So what is desire? What is desire? Again, another dictionary definition. It's a strong feeling of wanting to have something or wishing for something to happen. So desire isn't always bad. I think desire oftentimes, you know, is good. It says it's a strong feeling of wanting something to happen or wishing to have something, a very strong feeling. That's what desire is. Now, why am I stressing on desire? Because that is the foundation of temptation. That's where it starts. So we've looked at desire as the first point. The second point I want to do here is this. I'm making 3 points this morning. So the second point is, let us categorize desire. We're going to categorize desire into two types. There might be more types, but this is my current categorization. So I'm going to categorize desire into good desires and bad desires. We know these things already, but I'm just laying it out so that we can look at the process of temptation. How does it start? So I've said here, good desires. Mark chapter 11, verse 24.
And I'll read Mark chapter 11, verse 24. It says, therefore I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So Mark 11, 24, Jesus was saying to us, now whatever we desire, when we pray, we should believe that we have received them. So Jesus is indicating here that, look, there are certain desires that you have, and God is interested in those desires. God wants to help you to fulfill those desires. So he says, for these desires, pray about them. I'm interested in this desire that you have. So that's a good desire we're looking at there. So Jesus highlights that desire is good. And he goes a step further to say, look, he will even help us to fulfill our desires. So desire, there are desires that are good. Now, if we look at the other type of desire that the Bible refers to here, in James chapter 1 and verse 14, James chapter 1 verse 14, it says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. So James chapter 1 verse 14 talks about another type of desire, which the Bible refers to as evil desires. Those are the ones that the devil uses to drag people away. Do you understand? To the place that they don't want to go to. Now, we begin to see something here that we have good desires and we have evil desires as human beings. You know, but I'm sure you guys are all like angels. You don't have desire to like really tell off that your neighbor that's always throwing stuff over the fence. You don't have that desire to, you know, knock at his door in the morning and say, look, stop throwing those things over the fence. Otherwise, you guys don't have those desires. So why are we looking at desire this morning in the context of temptation? Because even though we have good desires, those good desires can be, if we're not careful, manipulated to tempt us to go the wrong way. And let me give us an example. So you have, like, typical here, you know, teenagers or young adults, and you have a young girl, and she's like, I want to meet a really nice guy that will, you know, that's nice, that'll probably, you know, get married to at some point. And she has that desire. Do you understand? Or maybe it's the other way around. There's a guy and he's like, look, I really want to, you know, meet like a really nice girl. So that I can like settle down in life. Do you get what I mean? And you know, it's a good desire. Right? Then what now happens is this. A guy now comes along, if it's the girl, and that guy has absolutely no intention of loving this girl or doing, he just wants to have like a sexual relationship with her. This guy now realizes that, look, the way I can do this is to manipulate the desire of this girl. She has good desires. Do you understand what I mean? And this individual, this is an analogy, by the way, starts to implement the process of desire. He starts to manipulate the situation, working on the good desire that this girl has. What does he do? He knows that, well, she wants a nice guy, someone who would care for her and all that. So he begins to, although this guy knows that's not what he wants, he begins to put himself in that light. He begins to give her flowers, begins to tell her that, look, I'm the guy of your dreams. You know, without me, I mean, look no further. I will make sure that when you wake up in the morning, after we get married, you have breakfast in bed. I'll make sure that your feet do not touch the floor. When you get up in the morning, I'm going to lift you up and take you downstairs. Put you on the breakfast table. Breakfast. And he begins to work on her desire. And she's like, my goodness, am I dreaming? this is the man of my dreams. Her desires are tugging. But this guy knows that this is, he has no intention of doing that. What does he begin to do? He begins to work on her desires, and he fans her desire to the point that she's dreaming about this guy. So what's happening there? Her desires are being manipulated. Do you understand what I mean? So, at the end of the day, the guy maybe just uses her, dumps her. Do you understand? So, desire is important. Desire is important. It is key in the process. All right, so the third point I'm going to look at here is, what is the source of temptation? What's the source of temptation? And I'll link it back to desire. Now, the source or the sources of temptation, I'd say, in this context, are two. There might be more, but I've identified two. The first is, surprisingly, you. Yeah. The first is you and I are the primary source of temptation in our lives. The other source of temptation is the devil. And like, hang on, what do you mean, me? How can I be the source? Yeah, you and I. Now, I'll read James chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, this is talking about you and I being a source of temptation to ourselves sometimes. James chapter 1 verse 14. It says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9, another kind. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation. Talking about Christians here. And a trap. And into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. So when I say you or me, there's something that starts from us sometimes, not all the time. So for example, if you've been dreaming of becoming a celebrity, like, you know, you want fast cars, you want millions of pounds or whatever, and as an individual, you're so fixated on that. Someone was telling me that, this is just tell you how old I am. In my days, when you got asked what you wanted to be in the future, even if you had no intention of being that, you'd say, okay, I want to be like an engineer, a doctor, or something, or, you know, one of those really nice things. Or I want to be like an industrialist, I want to be like a trader, I want to be, you know. And I said, oh, that's fine. So, like, in this generation that we have, like the under 20s, the 18-year-olds, and this person was telling me in this, I was asking about a particular country, and the person told me that, look, Pastor B, you guys are okay. You ask the regular 16 or 17-year-old now, doctor, trader, they're like, man, I want to be a YouTuber influencer. Is that, I'm like, is that a profession? So as far as they're concerned, that's what counts. And you now find young people, and in their hearts, their waking moments, man, I want to be a youth. There's nothing wrong with being an influencer, by the way. I'm just trying to highlight something. So if you are one, if you have a YouTube channel, don't go and delete it. I'm just making a point. And they're so fixated. I want to be like that person that has 2 million views. I want to flash up. I want, you know, that nice fancy car that influencer has because they've got so many views and they're paying them for ads and all that. And that person has that desire and it's like, oh man, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, by the way. But the desire overwhelms them to the point that one day a friend of theirs now comes to them and says, look, you want to be an influencer? How bad do you really want it? I'm like, man, I want to really, me, tell me how bad you really want it. Like, I really want it. I said, okay. And he goes, okay, no problem. Do you know what I'm going to do? There's this club that you need, that you can join. It's called the Elite Influencers. Just join that club, come around, and we'll just, you know, you're made. And the person, like, all I have to do is just join this club. And that's all you have to do. And the person arrives at this venue. And, you know, they're nice people. And they say, look, all you have to do is just sign an agreement with us, a pact. And you're like, pact? Yeah, sure. What? Contract? What? You guys want like 10% of my earnings? I said, no. This is a special kind of club. Really special kind of club? Just, you know, cut your hand and just drip some blood here, and we're brothers and sisters, we're shaking and all that, and you will be... You guys are looking at me like, does this happen in real life? Yeah, it does. And that person gets led away into the camp of the devil. And before they know it, it's too late. They can't leave. They've joined this special club. And this special club is demanding so many things from them. It's demanding that they do things that they would never imagine that they will do. So that's temptation starting from you as an individual, me as an individual. So it starts from a desire that is there within us, maybe not bad per se, but if we're not careful, that good desire can be translated to something that will be harmful to us. If I say, for example, I mean, like, as you might be like, oh, that's for the influencers, even for pastors as well. Do you get what I mean? And I mean, I reflect quite a lot, and I don't know why I just come across so many of these things that happen in life. And, you know, as a pastor, you know what, right? You've got like a church, and you're doing your best, you know, gathering the people, you know, like, you're preaching as much as you can, you're, you know, doing all that, and you switch on, like, YouTube. And on YouTube, you see, like, these mega churches, and it's like, it's like, praise the Lord! In America, mostly. Well, they have some... There's nothing wrong with that. Praise the Lord. And they're like the choir alone. They've got like two guitarists, three drummers, you know, two, and all those things. And it's like, man, it's like the choir alone. They're like 100 people in the choir. Like the lights are there, the tech people, they have all that. And, you know, there are loads of people that, and you're now like, man, that's a nice church. Yeah. And you're like, oh man, in my church, I'm still like the guy that plays the guitar. You know? Then suddenly, this individual now, this pastor now realized that, look, there's a way I can do this. I can make promises to people. I can start preaching in a particular way so that more people will come. So I'll be like, oh, temptation has started now. I'm now, and I'll go on YouTube. I get like loads of ads on YouTube, and I say, look, come to this church. All your problems solved. You will be, and I make these bogus promises. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. You know what I mean? Temptation has started. So, what am I saying? That every single one of us has the capacity to be tempted. Every single one of us. I look at the last part of temptation. So we've looked at two things. I've looked at the process of temptation, and I said it's hinged on desire. And I said desire, I've categorized it into two here: good desires and evil desires. And the third one is the source of temptation. And I said you and I could be the source because we have desires. Now, the last one is the devil himself being the ultimate source of temptation that wants to destroy people, just wants to ruin their lives. And I'm going to read Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 to 10. Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 to 10. It says, the tempter came to him and said, this is the devil coming to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of this world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So we see here the devil coming to Christ to tempt him. Now, the reason that Jesus came was to save the world, to die for mankind, to redeem us from sin. And the devil said, look, you want the world, you're here for the world, aren't you? I can give you a shortcut to it. All this cross business, going to the cross, suffering all this, look, that's not necessary. You just bow down to me now, job done. Job done. So we see here the devil trying to take a legitimate desire that Christ had, but trying to corrupt it. Do you understand? And it seems, you might look and you might be like, I mean, what's a big deal? I think this would be like an easier route for me to take. So we see something here. So I'm going to stop here this morning. So I'm laying a foundation here. So last week we looked at temptation. Today we've looked at desire being being the basis for being tempted. And the goal here is this, that as we go through this, we can be self-aware. And what that means is this. When you begin to see that you're taking certain decisions or you're thinking about something too much that you shouldn't be thinking about, and that you're beginning to desire something that you know deep in your heart. Hang on. I shouldn't be thinking about this. Then you'll know what to do about it. Do you understand? So you can stop temptation right in its tracks. That's what we want to achieve. But we're going to stop there this morning and we'll carry on next week. Now, one thing I want to also mention here is this, as we close. There's something about knowledge. So you can have knowledge that, look, I shouldn't be doing this, or I shouldn't be going in that direction. But yet, that individual, or you are, you see, it seems like you're just drawn there, and it appears that you don't have the power to just stop yourself from going in that direction. That is each and every one of us. So even as I've said all these things today, there's one thing we need to realize, that Jesus is the one that helps us, that strengthens us. So this isn't saying we should go off on our own and like, yes, oh, this is temptation. That, stay away, that. No, it's realizing that, look, this is temptation, but Jesus, you need to help me so that I'm not just doing it in my power. Do you understand what I mean? So this morning, I'll just like us to rise. Just play. And we just want to pray. We want to pray for ourselves. There are certain things that maybe we've, you know, been tempted to do in the past. Maybe we've spoken in a particular way that we shouldn't have spoken to an individual, and is like spoiled a relationship that we had with someone. Maybe we've done things that we are not really too proud of, because we've been tempted, because we didn't really realize that, look, we were in that situation. But the Bible tells us that Jesus came to wipe away our past and to give us a new, fresh start. And even if we're suffering from the consequence of a bad choice at this time, Jesus is still there to help us to lessen the impact of those bad choices we've made. So two things I'd like us to pray about this morning. The first is, Jesus, I've made this decision in the past. Help me to lessen the impact. Then the second prayer we'll pray this morning is, Jesus, help me to overcome temptation in my life. Go on this journey of life with me so that I will not struggle with temptation, but that you will always be there to help me overcome. I'd just like us to just spend that time praying. It's a personal prayer between me and the Lord and between you and the Lord. Father, we just thank you for what you're highlighting about temptation. We know that these things happen to us because we're human. But this morning we're asking that, Lord, every decision that we have made that has been a result of temptation that we might be suffering the consequence of, Lord, help us. Help us to lessen the consequence. Forgive us. And Father, as we walk into the future on a day-to-day basis, as we face temptation on a day-to-day basis, strengthen us to resist temptation. Strengthen us so that we will not fall into the temptation of the devil. Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you for everyone that is here and even those that are not here. Father, I'm praying that you will strengthen us, O God, through this journey of life. Father, I pray that for anyone who's facing any form of temptation that they're just not quite sure how to get out of, I'm asking that you will make a way out for them in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray for everyone who is unwell, who is here, and maybe those that are not here. Your word says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, that you bore our sicknesses, our infirmities. Your word says also in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, that by your stripes we are healed. I speak healing upon everyone that is unwell in the name of Jesus. For those that are not here, I send your word of healing to them, that you will touch them where they are, that you bring healing, that you bring peace to their hearts. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.